My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, ARCAT, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM specifications, and more, all for free. And Sweet Process, focus on the work that matters. Document processes, procedures, and tasks all in one place so you can stay focused on growing your business. Bryn Young, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you so much. It's exciting to be here.
It's great to have you here. Bryn Young is the architect and founder of B. Young Design, a residential design studio in San Diego, California. She has a background in architecture, interior design, and entrepreneurship. Her path to business ownership was a little unconventional, starting her company at the age of 25. Wow, that's very early. That's 4 years earlier than me, and I thought I started early. She knew she was an entrepreneur from a very young age and had many businesses by the time she was in high school. Bryn has recently pushed to expand and evolve B. Young Design into more than just a typical residential architecture firm, which is why she's here. We're going to talk about that a little bit. She's involved with her community and is on the board of directors of the La Jolla Historical Society. And she has launched a blog and a podcast called Design, Create, Inspire, which you should go subscribe to right now, which is designed for entrepreneurs, thinkers, designers, and creatives, which is many of us listening to this show. So you should go listen and subscribe. And Bryn, I want to talk about all of that stuff. I want to get into the podcast. I want to talk about the blog. I want to talk about the firm. Before we get too deep into this episode, let's say thank you to our platform sponsors, ARCAT and Sweet Process. I'm hearing it more and more among the Entree Architect community. The workload is piling up. With project conditions changing and limited time to get things done, it's good to have information at your fingertips. ARCAT.com provides architects, engineers, spec writers, and contractors with the most comprehensive libraries of building product content. And it's designed so you can access it quickly and efficiently. Even better, ARCAT.com is free to use and requires no registration, no credit card, no email. So visit today at ARCAT.com and access the information you need now. That's ARCAT.com, ARCAT.com. Let me ask you a question. Are you frustrated with how long it takes to get stuff done in your architecture firm? Or how chaotic and confusing things seem to get? Well, let me tell you about a much better way of getting work done. Let me tell you about an amazing new tool that will help you overcome the frustrating logjams in your architecture firm. Sweet Process. It's a simple yet powerful tool that lets you create clear step-by-step instructions for every task in your architecture firm. From writing proposals to executing client work to responding to client requests. So everything gets done more easily and more reliably. Plus, you'll have a central place where everyone who works for you, your employees, your contractors, even virtual assistants, can access your procedures anytime from any device. The best way to understand how Sweet Process streamlines your work is to start using it. The company offers a 14-day free trial, but listeners to this podcast, the Entree Architect community, you can try Sweet Process for 28 days free. Free of charge, 28 days. You don't even have to enter a credit card to get started. Just visit sweetprocess.com/entrearchitect to start your free 28-day trial. That's sweetprocess.com/entrearchitect. And let them know that you heard about them at the Entree Architect podcast. sweetprocess.com/entrearchitect. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. So when did you discover your passion for architecture, and who or what inspired you to become an architect?
So first off, I'm very excited to be here. I've been following you guys for a very long time, so it's an honor.
Great. I love
thank you. So I was one of the people who, you know, at very young age was rearranging my room and, you know, always involved with some sort of like building. But so my father was a contractor. And so I also was around going to sites all the time. He's a residential contractor in La Jolla. And so I was always immersed in that world. And we would even do nighttime walks in the evening and point out what houses we loved and what we loved about it. So it was just part of my life. I didn't really know much about what exactly an architect was. So early on, people would tell me, oh, you'd be a great interior designer. So from very early, I was, okay, I'm going to be an interior designer. I'm going to go to school for interior design. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have my own company. And I didn't really, so I went off to undergrad for interior design. And it wasn't until I did that where I realized architecture was really where my heart and soul was. So I got through interior design school and I did like it. It was actually a really good program up at Chico State, and they were converting it over to interior architecture. So my main professor was an architect, and there was a lot more focus on the built, you know, systems and details and that sort of thing and sketching. So it was a really good transition into architecture, but even still, that's where my heart was. So
What was the inspiration for that? So you went to interior mm-hmm. design, and somewhere during school, you said, "Oh, that thing over there, architecture, is where I want to go." What was the inspiration?
You know, I can't really totally pinpoint it on one thing. I did read The Fountainhead, so I don't know if you know. I mean, I think any architect is that's probably one of their early. I don't know, the books that they read that they're in that. And I loved that. And, you know, just talking about the building and the soul of the building. And I just resonated with that. And even in, I think in my projects, I started seeing it because I was even told, you know, you need to focus less on the building and more on the finishes and that sort of thing. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in that at all. And like my thesis I did for, it was interior design, but I designed a whole new, kind of a utopian housing development type thing. And so I think the interior design of it was probably 1 week of my whole thesis that I actually focused on that. So I knew that I wanted to head that direction. Plus, having the professor who was an architect, it kind of made me realize what that was. And again, it's kind of weird because I grew up with construction and the term architect, but I guess I just didn't know exactly what that was or know of it as a possibility.
Yeah.
And I think now, 2020, STEM is much more common in our school systems, especially advocating it for women and girls. But when I was a kid, it wasn't really talked about that much. So I was always told interior designer, and never architect. And then my senior year of interior design, I went back down to San Diego because that's where I'm from. And I had the opportunity to meet with Tal Softy from Softy Rabinus Architects. And she showed me around their studio and I was just like, yes, this is exactly what I want to do. And I found it. And they did have an interior design side of their company, but she told me, she said, if you love this, go be an architect. I was like, okay, I'm doing it. From there on, I'm going to be an architect. So I went down, I started working for my family's company, construction, which was really great because I started getting an idea of more details and the processes and estimating, which has been really beneficial for me now. And we started working on some design build, which was really exciting and got me more familiar with working with clients and that sort of thing. So I did that for a couple of years. Then I went off to grad school and still in San Diego. So I still worked for my family's company. And in undergrad, I did get a degree in entrepreneurship and small business management, which is wonderful that they even offered that degree. And because I did always know I wanted to go into business. So I actually, before I even went to grad school, I actually found Eric Reinholdt with 30 by 40 when he was originally writing for House. And I was saving all of his, House things on how to start your company and just all about that. And so I was saving that at the side and then starting school. And while I was in school, I applied for my business license and I decided I'm just going to start because why not? And I do come from a family of entrepreneurs. My dad started his business. My grandpa started and ran his own pharmacy. My grandma was a big entrepreneur. So I did come from this mindset of you can do whatever you want to do and go for it. Yeah. Plan. And just kind of taught from day one, like take risks. There's no, you won't be sad if you take a risk because the only thing you'll do is fail, try again. And so I did come from that like resilience mindset, which was helpful because I said, well, I might as well just start it because what's the worst that if I don't get any clients or I don't, oh, well, then I just go off and I work for someone afterwards.
So you started your company while you were in grad school?
Yeah. So I started, I started grad school in January of 2015 and I applied for my business license in October of 2015. So a couple years after that. I mean, a couple of months after that, and was just starting up my Instagram, just like starting little things just to kind of get it developed. And so then the big question was, once I'm done with grad school, do I just really go off on my own and go for it? Or do I go and work for someone? Well, I ended up getting pregnant with my daughter right before I started my thesis year. And she was born in January of my thesis year. And I graduated in June. And it was probably the best thing. Well, I mean, of course, the best thing that's ever happened to me. But also it forced me to really go off on my own. Because when I graduated, I thought, well, I could stay home with her. I could be working my own hours, which I did. I would work a lot of like late nights. And it allowed me the risk of not worrying about having to make a certain amount of money, I think, when I first came out, and not just go instantly work for someone else. Because I think if I would have done that, it probably would have been harder to get out of that. So that was a really great thing that helped me kind of like push full force into it.
And what type of work did you do from the beginning?
So one of my first few projects was like kitchen, kind of kitchen remodels where I probably could have done it, you know, it's kind of more like interior design, doing some finishes, but then it would slowly expand to opening up some walls. And then actually one of my first bigger projects, which was pretty exciting for having a bigger project, was a two-story addition. And I always worked with, you know, licensed engineer and stuff. And I know the licensed architects are going to, you know, we don't like the interior designers that think they're architects, but I was on the process. I was in the, you know, slowly getting there and getting the clients and working towards the architecture license while I was doing it, which is a long process.
And you were doing it all
legally.
Yes,
all legally, right? Of course. Yeah.
So you were following the rules and doing what you needed to do and pursuing architectural license and the whole thing.
And always being very upfront about what stage of the process I was in and letting, you know, clients know that, you know, that was the process. And in California, you don't need a license to do single family residential, two-story wood frame, but even still I would always use a licensed engineer, which was great, which people I think do anyways, even licensed architects usually do anyways, I think. mostly, but it was just really good learning experience, and it wasn't all wonderful. There was some hiccups along the way, but it were very good learning lessons, and being right there to work with the clients directly from the beginning and being involved in each phase, even construction administration, it did require me to learn really quickly and, learn through those some mistakes and stuff, but it was, very exciting.
And now you're licensed.
Now I am licensed.
You just recently.
It was my first exam I took when my daughter was 10 months old. And so trying to get it all managed and it hasn't been easy. And so it was a big weight off my shoulders to finally have that license.
A big deal. A very big deal. So what's happening now? You're chugging along with your business. You're doing residential architecture. How has it grown since you started?
Well, I got a really awesome project a couple years ago, right when ADUs were starting to hit the market, where it was basically right after they became legal. And I had a client asking me about it. They were very curious about it, more so because they wanted to design a art studio in their backyard. And it was just a very, I call it a unicorn project, because they basically gave me free rein to do what I wanted to do. And I attribute that to them being artists, because they said, we understand that what you do is an art and we value other people's work. And so we want you to do this. And it was going to be a music studio and a paint art studio. So they wanted it to be to reflect that. And so it was just an incredible project. And it ended up winning an AIA award last year. And that, I think, has elevated me kind of to the next step, because as an ADU, it was a new construction. It wasn't building off the existing house or anything like that. Even though it's small, it's only 500 square feet, but it was kind of like a little sneak peek of what I'm in for. So that was really exciting. And we just are finishing construction on that. So it was a long process because it had to go through Coastal Commission, which was also great though, because it was a good learning process. And so I feel like that's kind of pushing me to the next level. Now, at the beginning of the pandemic, I did have a couple decent projects, I didn't really feel any of the effects of the pandemic right away. It was more so towards the end of, I'd say like April or May, when people started getting cold feet. I think like, well, this is more than what we expected. And so most of my clients that were in the design phase put their projects on hold. So at first it was, I mean, everything in the world was a little scary. And now my projects were going on hold. But the quietness also kind of, I appreciated it. I was finally taking a moment to sit down in the backyard and paint again with my daughter, who now is home with me, and just do these things that I feel like you get caught in that rat race that you, even though we do work in an art field, you're not doing it for the enjoyment of the sketching or the painting. You just get kind of caught up in it. And it's hard to do things that maybe are passion projects, because you do have these people who are relying on you, like clients. So the slowdown actually, I really enjoyed, and it allowed me to work on some other things that I've had brewing in my mind and in my notes for honestly years. So I decided just to go for it. And so now that that clients are starting to come back, I'm like, wait, I'm really enjoying this side of my business. It's not paying. Yeah. Well, I know. I'm like, it's not paying the bills. I do need these clients, because those are the people that are paying me, but I'm also really enjoying this. So how can I try to try to meld it or figure that all out and be able to do it all. And so, you know, inspired by all you guys who do podcasts, I've been following so many of the architect podcasts for a while and a bunch of business podcasts for a while. So I decided to start a podcast, as you mentioned earlier, called Design, Create, Inspire. And my push for that is I don't mind talking. I have a harder time writing. So starting just a blog was harder for me to follow through with because in my notes on my phone, I have so many ideas of different topics and I'll write like a little blurb about it. But I've never been great with my words in terms of writing. So I figured, you know, I should just start a podcast and I can just get it out. And then it's easier to write the blog for me afterwards because the words are already out there. So I can just kind of talk and then it comes more naturally. And deciding to start that was scary. It's, you know, there's a lot of fears that go into it. Like, well, why me? You know, like, the fear of judgment or like, oh, another person starting a podcast, you know, why everyone's doing it and all these things. And so I kind of kept hesitating on it. And then I was talking to this girl and she goes, well, have you ever started or thought about starting a podcast? I'm like, yes, I have. And it was like the next day, I'm like, I'm doing it. And I've been really enjoying it. It's fun. I enjoy talking about, so the podcast is not just for architects or just for interior designers. It's, although most of my episodes so far seem to be going that way, but I want to inspire people who want to start a business, who maybe are hesitant to how to even get moving on that, or even homeowners who, like, what even is an architect? I've had people say to me, like, what do you even do? Like, why do you have to take so many exams? What is it? And I'm like, okay, well, you know, all these buildings that we spend 90% of our time in, an architect's part of that. So you want them to be safe and healthy. And so I wanted a podcast where I could almost send my clients to when they're like, well, what is the design process? Oh, well, here, go listen to this or read this blog post. So it is for, I have some episodes on architecture school and that sort of thing. So I don't want it to be too broad where I'm trying to, you know, cater to everybody, but I don't know. I'm kind of just doing whatever feels inspired. And I think teaching and getting the things that are in my brain out to other people has been inspiring and helpful to me.
Yeah. It sounds like you are building a personal brand through the blog, that you're pursuing the things that you enjoy, the things that you have expertise in and you can share with the world. And that includes, you know, design, it includes architecture, it includes entrepreneurism, business, all the things that make up Brin Young are the things that you talk about and share with other people.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been really exciting and fun and, you know, kind of a slow start at first, but I think because I'm enjoying it, it's easy to do.
Yeah. Are you seeing any results from it in any way? Like other than, you know, seeing downloads, is there any sort of direct response from
Not so far, really. It's pretty early. I just started at the beginning of September. So there's probably only, I think I just came out with my sixth episode. So it's still pretty infant, but I have had a lot of, I have a couple posts on the ARE and back in May or April, I did a video on the ARE and kind of the fear of failing and talking about failure with it. And that has had a lot of really amazing responses. Actually, just this morning, I got a direct message on Instagram from someone saying, hey, I know I've never met you, but I just wanted to let you know that I finally got the okay from CAB to take my exams and I didn't have anyone to share this with. And, you know, I watched your video. And so it's little things like that. I've received a lot of stuff. I even had one person tell me, Which, yeah, he said, I was taking the exam and I failed. And when I saw the fail on the screen, I thought of you. And, but it made me, I know well, exactly. I'm like, oh, great. When people see fail, they think of me. But he's like, I realized that it's okay, that it's just, I'll get through to the next one. And so those to me, I mean, again, it's not like any of this has led to any revenue or anything, but it's little things like that where I'm like, good. If I'm not explaining it or putting it out there or sharing my own experience with the ups and downs of this journey, then nobody else is benefiting from it. And it's also things that I wish I had when I was going through it all. So like I mentioned finding Eric in-house and saving all of his things. And then I purchased his book when he came out with it. And like that was so beneficial to me when I was going through the process. And there was still questions I had, even with all that information. And so if I can share that out there, and even with the exams, the very first ARE I took, I failed. And especially going through architecture school and you know, once you start the exams, you've already accomplished a lot. And in our field, we tend to be a little bit like perfectionists and stuff. So then seeing a fail, it's really difficult. It's like, well, what am I doing with my life? Should I even be doing this? So I even Googled ARE fail and like just that. And there was a couple things on there, but not much. And so I wanted to share my experience. Like you go and you fail, it's not a big deal because you're likely to fail at least one exam, if not multiple exams. So just giving that normalcy for people is, kind of why I've wanted to do it all.
Yeah. Inspiring others. So what's your future plans for Be Young Design and Design Create Inspire?
I have so many goals. I'm a big goal person. So, I have big goals too.
So let's pick a 3-year timeline. Where is Bryn Young?
So I would love to grow my team for my actual company. So I've been a solopreneur for a long time. I had an independent contractor work for me, kind of on and off project by project basis. I would love to grow my team to. Before I dive into that, I do want to say that I love design, I love architecture, but I really love business. And I feel like not all architects love business, you know? So, and a lot.
I can relate to that.
So I actually feel okay with letting go of maybe more of the design side of it. And I really enjoy that. So I would love to, ideally, I would love to have a team that of people who love to design and don't really care about the business or the marketing or anything like that. And, I can come in and I can do an employer who would do the quickest 2-second sketch and be like, I like this, do this. And then we would take it and we would turn that into something. I would love to do that. I'd love to come in and this is kind of my thought process for it. And then they kind of run with it. And then I can handle expanding just, like what you do, like doing the podcasts and courses to help people who are wanting to start businesses or get into, running an architecture firm and all that sort of thing and kind of being, above and having other people help with the design and everything.
Yeah. You want to run the operations. Yeah. That's how Anne Marie, my wife and my partner and I do it. I run the business side. She runs the design side and together we're the perfect architect. So you need to find the design side because you have a passion for the business side and the entrepreneur side, and which is great because that's the position you want to be in because architects like
design. Right.
So it's easier to find an architect who want me to design. You don't want me to focus
I know.
On
perfect.
Business? No problem. Yep.
So
that'll be much easier to find. So you find somebody like that and you team up with them and you build out Be Young Design and take over the world. And so it gives you the opportunity to focus on your strengths and your passions. And you find somebody who wants to focus on their strengths and their passions, which may be your, your weaknesses or your things you're not interested in, and you'll be really, really successful. It's a great opportunity for you.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's so true, is learning how to delegate it and find the people that do have the strengths where, you know, to balance you, because it's so impossible to have it all. You cannot be able to be good at every single area. And so that's hard. It's something I've been wanting to do for a long time, but it's also hard because it's one, hard to find that person. It's also, you know, sometimes hard to release that control. So it's all a learning process. And I feel like I'm kind of at this, 2020 has been a really weird year because, of course, there's been a lot of devastation and difficulty and anxiety and hardships. But in the beginning of this year, I kept saying, this is the year. This is going to be an incredible year. And then everything started happening. I'm like, maybe this isn't going to be an incredible year.
Maybe not.
But at the same time, I do think it's been a pivotable year, where it took like this disruption for me to be able to have the space to then pivot into what I have been wanting to do for a really long time, which has allowed me the opportunity to think of these different things and expand the business and start bringing in more people. And so in a weird way, it's taken this hardship in order to create something great from it. So I still, though, you know, I'm respectful of everyone who's, I know there's been so many businesses that have, you know, aren't in business anymore. There's been a lot of death. There's been a lot of difficulty. And so I'm respectful of that. But at the same time, I do feel like this has still been like the year.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you. I think that if people look for it, there are tremendous opportunities before us as architects because of the changes. And yes, I agree with you. There's been lots of struggle this year and lots of emotion and lots of overwhelm. But there are also lots. We're going to look back and many of us are going to say, oh, that's when everything changed for me, right? Because you were forced to stop and look around and see what's happening and make adjustments based on what's happening. And you'll look back and say, oh, that's when I had that time to think about my future, and now I'm in that future. And so it's an exciting time because of the opportunities before us.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think too, one thing I have been doing is I've been active on social media for work and stuff. And I will go on Facebook, like just for the small couple groups that I'm in, for learning. And there has been a ton of learning, on my side and courses that I've been taking in education, which I've been loving, but I haven't really been, consuming social media much on, like it's been too much and overwhelming. And I find even if I spend 5 minutes doing that, I am not in an inspired state anymore. So I have been consuming podcasts like crazy, which I like that you have the control over what you're listening to. Like I said, the Facebook groups. And so I think that's really important, especially during this time, is being very conscientious of what you're consuming. And I think that's been really helpful for me to be inspired by this year rather than just sad.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I avoid the things I can't control. And so I focus on the things I do have control over and be very, very intentional about what I allow into my mind. Because you can allow a lot of really bad stuff to enter your mind and it will affect you. It will put you in a place both emotionally, psychologically. It'll put you in a place in the future, in a place that you don't want to
be. And it can happen quickly too. And without your control, because if you're just scrolling mindlessly, those things are choosing you rather than you choosing that. So that's,
And now we're learning through some of the recent Netflix episodes that have been put on about how a lot of this stuff is designed to affect us in negative ways, because it forces us to continue to look at it, to continue to consume it, to continue to look for the next bad thing. And if you just avoid it, if you take control over what you allow to influence you, you will be in a much mm-hmm. better place.
I agree.
Very good advice, Bryn. Let's follow up our final question. Let's finish up with our final question. What's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Well, I have to say, and I know I use the word a lot because it's even in my brand name, but I think inspire. I think however you can do that, whether that's taking on being a mentor for an architecture student, whether it's putting inspiring content out there to, you know, counteract all the other stuff out there. I think, however, and being a small firm architect too, you can do that really easily through maybe images that you do, or I don't know, just I think inspiring is a really incredible thing, and it can come back to you in a really positive way too. So,
yeah, I agree. Her name is Bryn Young, B-R-Y-N Young. Her website, you can go check her out at byoungdesign.com. That's the letter B, youngdesign.com. Go check her out. Say that you saw her or her. You didn't see her. You heard her over at the podcast. And then go sign up. Go subscribe to the Design, Create, Inspire podcast. You can find that on anywhere you listen to podcasts, wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. Click the little plus button and subscribe to Design, Create, Inspire. It's also on the website at beyoungdesign.com up in the menu. Bryn, this has been a really positive, interesting conversation.
Thank you.
You are inspiring. You have an inspiring story. I love that you are intentionally inspiring others. So thank you. This has been a really great conversation. Thanks for joining me today at Entree
Architect Podcast. Of course. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a rating, write a review, and share a link to this episode with a friend. Links to the resources we discussed today are available at the show notes for this episode found at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entree Architect is proud to be a partner with the largest, most engaged AEC multimedia network on the planet, Gable Media. We are curating thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's gablmedia.com. And check out Entree Architect Academy membership. We have ready-to-edit business resources, live monthly training for architects, a supportive architect community, and Simple Systems, our new business system program developed for you, small firm architects. It's all waiting for you right now at Entree Architect Academy membership. Come join me and hundreds of Entree Architect peers at entrearchitect.com/join. That's entrearchitect.com/join to enroll today. Be well, my friends. Be healthy, happy, safe, and secure. Thank you for listening. Love, learn, and share what you know.